A lot of references to the Army today, and with good reason. But we're also in the kingdom of God. We have a call of duty as well. And this morning I want to be talking to you about your individual responsibility. Well, I was brought up in Kentucky, near the racehorse farms. We used to say, let's tin like. You ever do that? Let's just tin like. You just tin like you're the only one here. Just you and Mo, okay? Nobody else. Because I'm talking to you in your individual responsibility this morning. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of your vacation. Is that what it says? King James? No, you walk worthy of your vocation. Okay? And our vocation is a full-time effort. Ephesians chapter 4. You walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I'm not talking to anybody else but you, remember, okay? You're to walk worthy of your vocation, your full-time work. Somebody asks you what your vocation is, and you can respond, maybe with a smile on your face, and that is serving the Lord. We are His disciples. We are His servants. That's what we are here for. And when we lose track of that, we will be taking care of ourselves on this earth and not for the right reasons. The devil has all kinds of weapons to draw you and me away, and he uses them every day, doesn't he? Shake your head this way. Yes. Well, Brother Hapley, you're so old, I'm sure he doesn't bother you anymore. That day doesn't come till your heart stops beating. And he's either got you or lost you, hasn't he? The devil, that is. And same way with the Lord. He either has you now, or he doesn't. And we'll talk about a little bit about that in the lesson this morning. Later this morning. So we have a call of duty. It is our duty and responsibility to do all that he commands us. In John chapter 2, his mother said, in about verse 5, I think, somewhere along 1 through 5, at the wedding feast of Cana of Galilee, she said, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And that applies to us today. As you recall, they needed wine, and Jesus said, go fill the water pots with water. And now, well, we don't need water. But they did what he said, and it turned out well, didn't it? And no, he didn't make an alcoholic drink, okay, just to settle that little query. But we have an individual responsibility to follow all that the Lord says, that whatsoever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord. And that name of the Lord means what? By His authority. We're studying Bible authority at home in our adult class. We did it about 3 years ago, and we're doing it again. Why? If you're old as I am and have been in the church very long, you know, back in the 50s, late 40s and 50s through the 60s and some places still going, we had a division in the church. And it knocked us for a loop. And we had to study authority. Book, chapter, and verse. If it ain't in there, we don't do it, right? We speak where the Bible speaks and are silent where the Bible is silent. We speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4 and verse 11. We've got to put the Word of God into our hearts that we might not sin against Him, Psalm 119 and verse 11. That's your responsibility, not the preachers, not just a few of the members, but all of us as weapons for the Lord. We've got to know how to use our armor, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. And every one of our weapons, our offensive and our defensive weapons, we've got to be on guard. We've got to let the enemy know that we are not afraid. We're ready. And we're not going to back down. And we will not back down when we are full of the gospel. Remember that little song we used to teach our grandchildren or children? I'm a little teapot, short and stout. Tip me over and what? Pour me out. Yeah. You're full of the gospel. Somebody jostles you. What are you going to talk about? You're going to talk about the Lord, aren't you? A friend of mine told me about 100 years ago that if you can't change the conversation to religion in 15 minutes, you ain't trying. And that's a fact, Jack, isn't it? We're not trying. We use excuses. Matter of fact, the elders at Lafayette Heights sent the deacons out. And they gave me some work to do, too. And one of them, a couple of them came back, and they were sent out to this couple. And they said, well, how they had said after the week or two, we had another meeting. And they said, how did it go with this couple? And they said, well, we just never got around to talking about their problem. Boy, there was a dead silence in that room, and I was glad I wasn't one of those deacons. They said, how long were you there? He said, oh, an hour or so, and you never got around to it? Waiting for one of those round to its? Well, it just never came up. And the elder said, when you knocked on that door and they responded, did they know why you were there? You just come by to visit and have cake and coffee? You had come and they knew it and you knew it and you did nothing about it. And when you left, they knew you hadn't done your job. Step up and do the will of the Lord. You didn't go there to harm them. You went there to help save their souls. They were unfaithful. And that's why we need the courage to do things just like that. Each of friends, family members and others, people with whom we work or go to school, that we need to have the courage so full of the gospel. And you're not cramming it down their throat. We've had people say, don't talk to me about this again. I'm not coming. I'm not going to go. So don't ask me. So what do? We shake the dust off our feet, okay? As the apostles did, the Lord commanded. And so we move on. And this is what we've got to do as our individual responsibility. I don't know a congregation this size. I'm sure there may be some that could be here this morning, but are not. It's true in every congregation where I've ever been. They just choose not to come to Bible study. And in a nation that allows us to do this, and you're not in fear, oh, hope they don't see cars in the parking lot. I hope some government official doesn't come by and see we're worshiping today. Because they'll come in here and they'll stop it. And if you say you're not going to stop it, they'll shoot us. Aren't you glad, thankful that we can come and we're not worried about anything like that at all, are we? So blessed to be able to do that. Red and yellow, black and white, we are precious in His sight. That song is still true, isn't it? And God loves us all. And we need to show our love for Him. So let's be guilty of doing His will. Jesus said, if you love me, what? You'll keep my commandments. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I say. John 14:15, John 15:14, either way. If you're dyslexic, you'll get it either way. Luke 6:46, if you love me, keep my commandments. People say, oh, there's nothing you have to do. The Lord did it all. Well, then he didn't know what he was talking about in Luke 6:46, did he? Or blessed are they that keep His commandments. Bible's full of doing. You have work to do. And we can't get around it, can't get under it, can't get over it. Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, we must be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. You know, you can fill your day with so full of things that you don't have time to open your Bible. I just don't have time. But you will have time to die, won't you? Remember the rich fool in Luke chapter 12? He had things planned for tomorrow and the next day and the next year. I've got much goods laid up for many years. He thought. When did he die? Jesus said, fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Yes, Judy and I have plans, things we hope to do. But who knows that we'll get them accomplished. See? What can occur? So many examples of that can be given. But you have a responsibility and I have a responsibility to do the Lord's will. And we can't be in fellowship with the Lord unless we are doing His will. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. That's the little song that Jesus wrote at the end of Matthew chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount. The wise man built his house on a what? Rock. Jesus is that rock. Matthew 16. Upon this rock, because I am who Peter said he was, the Son of the living God, because he is the Son of God, we can build upon that rock. We have a firm foundation. I don't know about you, but I like to be on firm foundation, don't you? Yes, sir, we do. We wouldn't build a house on the sand, and thus Jesus' illustration is so applicable. We may use the same materials as the wise man, but it's going to collapse, isn't it? Yes, it will. I can't be in fellowship. When I work for a living, and I can say that, but you can't. Before I went to preaching, whenever they gave me more work to do, I wanted my salary raised. And when my salary raised, they gave me more work to do. Well, one fellow said, well, they gave me more responsibility. Well, duh. Sure. If he doesn't do it, what's going to happen to him? They're going to say, nice, been nice working with you. Don't let the door hit you. And so we need to be in fellowship with the Lord by doing His will. And we, in the marriage relationship, isn't that still true? When I don't fulfill my responsibility, do I get the... You don't want that look. You said you would do it and you didn't. I did this all my life. With two words. I forgot. You ever been there? And that doesn't work too well, does it? Better get right on that. And same way with the Lord. You know, don't wait for those round two. It's hold up your part of the bargain. Walk worthy of your vocation. You've chosen this. You vowed to the Lord that you are His. And don't be a slacker. Bible fellowship simply means doing your part. Doing your part. Being here is a good part. But that's not all, is it? There's more to it than just being here every Sunday morning. Because we need to walk worthy of our vocation. Doctors and lawyers take an oath. Both of them. And sometimes it's on a Bible. Politicians. They swear on the Bible that they're going to fulfill this oath. And some do and some don't. How are we doing in fulfilling our oath to God? Paul said, we're to walk worthy of our vocation in all lowliness and meekness. Well, what does that mean? I need to recognize my own faults and failures. I can't come to talk to you as a sinless man, can I? Because you could quote one verse to me and tell me that, no, you're not sinless. How do you know that? Romans 3, what? 23, that's right. Romans 3, 23. And the wages of sin, chapter 6, is death. Okay? So I need to know that. And I need to know what this death is all about. It's not annihilation, is it? It's eternal. Eternal life in death. And I know too much about hell to want to go there. Had a friend tell me in grade school, he said, I'm going to go to hell where all my friends are. Whoa, I think he made it. He's gone now. And no hope left. So we need to walk worthy of our vocation wherewith we are called in all lowliness and meekness. With long suffering. Are we long suffering with each other? Well, she didn't talk to me today. So, what's wrong with her? Well, how about finding out? You know, somebody may have had a tragedy in their life or in their family that you don't know about, and somebody left without talking to you, and that's your problem for the day. And you're going to let everybody know that you're upset? Sometimes we need a good talking to. One congregation where I preached, we had a gossip. So we had to talk about gossip. One member called me the next day and she said, this lady called me. She said, I knew who you were talking about, and the whole congregation did. And she said, she called me today. And she said, I don't want to hear it. That's how you stop gossip, isn't it? We need to be long-suffering, but let's not, when somebody is sinning, we can't overlook that, can we? Not out of patience with, long-suffering, not short-suffering. I saw a fellow jerk a little baby up out of his high chair, just a few months old, because he knocked over his milk. It was an embarrassment. That's not long-suffering, is it? You bear with because you are long-suffering, forbearing, willing to bear with because of love. And then verse 3 of Ephesians 4 says, endeavoring to keep. What is endeavoring? Well, you made an endeavor to come here today, didn't you? Did the bed feel good to you this morning? Mm-hmm. Me too. And a lot of people just choose, it's raining, oh, it's so peaceful and dark outside, and I can put you right to sleep, can't I? And it's tempting. But I know why I am here. And this rain is not going to last forever. The cold's not going to last forever. Well, I said that 2 months ago. But we need to endeavor. Make positive steps in the direction of keeping unity. Not be a divider. Okay? One of the six things that the Lord, yea, seven that He hates, Proverbs chapter 6, 16 through 19. It's one that causes division. I don't want to be that fellow to you. I may get everything else right, but I may be a divider. I need to walk in lowliness and meekness and long-suffering and endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Sometimes I need to stick my nose in where it's not wanted. Well, you won't get in trouble if you try to stop that. Well, look at the trouble you can stop. Sometimes you need to bring these two people together that are not getting along and meet them face to face and say, what is the problem? You need to stop it. Both of you. Both of you are not going to go to heaven. Both of you could go to hell. And probably will with that attitude. So you need to stop it. Well, what are some of our God-given responsibilities? I need to be identified with a local congregation. I guess it would help if you could see that. Don't you? Paul essayed to join himself to the congregation in Jerusalem, and they didn't want him, and I wouldn't either. Would you? He was a terrorist. What had they heard about him? He'd been killing brothers and sisters all over the place. He'd getting letters to go outside. Everywhere, even to Damascus, remember, on the road? What was he on that road for? He didn't know, did he? What was going to happen? But we need to be identified, and Barnabas stuck up for him and said, he's now preaching the gospel. We all need a Barnabas, don't we? Sure we do. Somebody who can encourage us, help us when we're down, who sees when maybe I miss or things have changed in my life and just notice it and just say, is everything okay? Not being nosy, but trying to be helpful. And sometimes you may get a hug and tears. How did you know? Or a call. Or a card. I don't know about you, but I still like getting cards. On anniversaries, birthdays, I'm jumping up and down. Yay! We have groups, four different groups at the congregation. And we send out cards to people with birthdays and people who haven't been there and encourage them to come. Or those who have visited the congregation, on and it goes. But that's an encouragement. And some have said, I'm here because you all cared. Just, you don't have to buy somebody a Cadillac or a 3-week vacation somewhere. Jesus said it's the little things. Songs and poems have been written about the little things that make me love you so. just a word of an encouragement, a cup of cold water. See, just little things. Somebody leads a prayer, young man or older, it doesn't matter. Sure appreciated your prayer today. Appreciated your thoughts. Every once in a while, Dave will get up and have a good sermon, and you can tell him when he does that. Okay? Oh, just good lesson, Brother Dave. Good lesson. That doesn't go for naught. It's appreciated. So be identified with the local congregation. Make sure you're a part of the congregation, okay? Do what you can. You think, well, I can't lead singing. I can't teach a Bible class. But I better find my talent, because there's no talent, man. Is there? 521, no zero talent. And you don't have to accept. You know, we like our congregations to grow, but we don't have to accept everybody that comes down the pike, do we? Somebody comes in and want to place membership? Acts 9:26, with Paul, points that out. Till I find out, have people come and we have to ask them some questions. Because there are charlatans out there that will trick you and say, well, now I'm a member of this congregation, you got to help me. They know what they're doing. A lady in Greencastle, Indiana, we found out she was a member of the church. And I thought she was old. She was my age probably now. This has been 40 years ago. And we said, forgotten her name, but said, how long have you been in Greencastle? And she said, over 30 years. Just lived down the street from the building. She could have walked it in a minute. And we said, hon, why haven't you ever been to services? We just found out you're a member of the church. She said, well, my membership's back in Tennessee. So if you move away from here, then you don't have to go because your membership is here. Is that right? What? And it wasn't that she'd moved to Outer Mongolia where there was no congregation. And she could move and she could walk. She wasn't handicapped. Just hadn't gone in over 30 years. Expect to go to heaven. She needed to be a part of the local work, didn't she? Sure she did. And so do you, and so do I. Then, quickly, we need to attend all. That should say services. Attend all the services of the church. Who, me? Yes. What about a gospel meeting? Let me tell you. There was a preacher who had some brass a few years ago, back in the last century, early. He went to a gospel meeting, and this congregation had four elders. He noticed on Monday night, one of them wasn't there. Tuesday night, another one wasn't there. Wednesday night, another one wasn't there. And Thursday night, the fourth one wasn't there. So guess who didn't show up Friday? The preacher. And they put him up at a little motel down the road. And they said, well, it's time for services. Where is he? So they all four drove down there to the little place. And there he was sitting in his pajamas in a rocking chair. And said, you know it's time for you? Yes, I do. Sure do. He said, well, you better get ready. Come on. He said, well, no. He said, you took Monday off. You took Tuesday. You took Wednesday. You took Thursday. And he said, I thought I deserved a night off too. You reckon they got the point, or did that go over their heads? See? Every one of us has a responsibility. And I know, I recognize, there are age problems, health problems, work problems, situations that you can't. But when you can and you don't. Now, if somebody knocked on your door, what would you say? I've heard some pretty feeble, flimsy excuses for why people don't come. And I thought about tape recording it and then playing it back to them in a year or so and say, "What reckon who made that statement?" Well, that would be you. That would be you. So I need to be identified with the local congregation, and I need to attend every service. What if our children went to school as often as we attend services? Would we allow them to skip a day, one day a week, would you? Why wouldn't you allow them to miss every Monday? If they have a long weekend, okay? Or Friday, oh, Friday, yes, have Friday off there. What would happen? Generally, that's when the tests are, isn't it? And even if it wasn't a test on Monday, you're going to miss something, aren't you? Judy taught a class, young children's class, and this young family had two little girls, and they hardly showed up. Maybe what, a couple times a month, if that. And Judy asked him, and she said, "Well, kids don't get anything out of your class. Well, would you, if you came only every other week?" They didn't know what they'd studied, talked about, and she quizzes them over and over to make sure, and those kids didn't have a clue. So they were bored. Whose fault was that? Not the children's. So we need not only to be identified, but attend all of the services, be here every time the doors are open, quit playing at church, attend every time we can, because I'm hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Okay? I can't wait to get here, because I know I'm not going to be here, that is, on this earth, forever. Didn't used to think about dying when I was a teenager, because I, like that commercial said, I'm 60 and I got a whole lot of living to do. How do you know that? It just irks me every time I see that commercial. We don't know that, do we? So I need to do all that I can, when I can, be here and encourage others. Did you know empty pews are a discouragement? They are. When you know of people who could be here and they've just chosen not to come. They have other fish to fry, other things they'd rather be doing. Now, they wouldn't tell you that. Well, I'd just rather be, oh, there's an NBA game on this week, tonight, I'm going to miss tomorrow night. My team's playing. I've told members, I'll tape it for you. I'll video it for you. I'll copy it for you. Oh, but I'd miss. What's more important? And what are you showing your children? Have members that have, when their children were growing up, were unfaithful, and now, when their children grow up and they're gone, they never darken the door. Wonder why? Wonder why? Because we're losing our children. We tell our children to do their homework. Parents, grandparents, we need to be doing our homework. And I think Judy and I are working harder now on our grandchildren than we did on our own kids. Because we want them to remain faithful, don't we? All of them. And let them know and see the good that comes from it. So many things that we could mention that people just want to cut out, want to just take the Lord's Supper and leave. Really? One couple in Crawfordsville where Judy's dad used to preach drove up after services and said, "We've been camping all week. Could you all bring out the Lord's Supper to us? We're not dressed to come in." A drive-up Lord's Supper. And I heard about 20 years ago they were doing that out in California. Two windows. One for the bread. We'll drive forward. Please pull forward to the next window. Really? That's all you had to do. Take the Lord's Supper and you got your ticket stamped for the week. What are you talking about? But being a member, identified with the local congregation, and attending all the services, Uh-oh, now you're gone too far. Going to have to hear preacher preaching for a raise. Well, this is not Dave up here today. But does the Bible say we're to give as we're prospered? Shake your head this way. Do we? What if the Lord prospered us the way we give? Did you get that? I throw in a little bit of what's left after I've enjoyed all the week and all the month spending the things that I want. Got to save for the vacation. Got to save for the car. Got to pay. Got to pay. Talked to a woman at the hotel this morning. Works, 6 days a week? And got to pay the bills. Got to pay the bills. Sometimes we extend ourselves, don't we? And I'd like to come, but I've obligated myself. And you know, you're not supposed to miss these bill payments. Well, that's true, but you're not supposed to obligate yourself so much where you can't attend services either. You ever think about that? I need to give as I purposed in my heart, and every one of us does. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. You plan it, you give. What you're going to take out of your billfold, what you're going to write on that check, you've purposed it in your heart. This is what I am going to give. Did you know the Lord saw the widow, what she gave and what everybody else gave as He sat over by the treasury? Did you know that's how we used to give? Everybody got up. There was a basket on the table and everybody got up, placed their money right there in the basket. And you have, they're called deacon's benches. Elders used to sit and watch. Like Jesus watched. Jesus knew that that woman was a widow. See, He knows everything about all of us, doesn't He? He knew how much the rich were giving. He knew how much she gave. All. How did He know that that was all? Just like He knows what I give and what you give. And if I give it grudgingly, oh, Judy, do we have to give that much? We're going to be needing a new car. Ours has got a lot of miles on it, so who's going to pay for it? Like the little boy. I use this illustration so long. Mom gave him a nickel for the contribution and a nickel for ice cream. Did that tell you something? Cone of cream for a nickel. On his way to church, he dropped a nickel and went down a gutter. And he looked up and said, "Sorry, Lord." Said, "Whose nickel did he drop?" "So sorry, Lord, I'd like to give more." Really? Don't lie to Him. You give as your purpose in your heart, but are you giving as you've prospered? And how many times have you heard 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2 used? Paul said, "As I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye." Give cheerfully. And that word cheerfully is where we get our word hilarious. You know, there's some jokes that you hear that, yeah, that's funny. And then there are the hilarious knee slapping. Okay. This is how happy I am to be able to give what little bit I can give. And don't think, well, the Lord doesn't know. Oh, yes, He does. We'll find that out again in a few minutes. He knows. He knows. There's nothing. When's the stopper time? About 5 minutes? 2 minutes? All right. Keep peace in the church. You have a responsibility. We hinted on it earlier to keep peace, don't we? To stop it if you see somebody else causing a little wrangle. Ain't going to happen. What is it we say? Not on my watch. See? Two brothers not getting along, two sisters not getting along. We'd stop it at home with the family, wouldn't we? Brother, sister not getting along. Here, take a baseball bat to each other. No, we're going to stop it, aren't we? Because we know the damage it'll do. I have a responsibility to keep peace in the church. Then, quickly, the last minute, keep myself pure. Paul told Timothy, what, 1 Timothy 5 and verse 22, keep thyself pure. Morally pure, in every way pure. Just consider the consequences. Well, you read Proverbs chapter 1, the warnings that Solomon gives his son, and about verse 20 to the end of the chapter, he shows you the consequences of disobedience. Good chapter to study. We sing, pure in heart, O God, help me to be. That's a prayer. And can hardly sing that song without tears. Such a sweet, and the person, I would like to talk to the person that wrote it and thank him for putting this down. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, your beautiful works, and glorify our Father which is in heaven. All right, I think we should shut up. Thank you for your attention.